everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. And all will be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world.
Welcome, welcome, folks, here in the Corporation Nation. It is the Wednesday, the 4th of March, 2015. This is Clint, your host, here on Republic Broadcasting. It is Wednesday, which means Daniel's going to be joining us. We're just trying to get him on the phone. Looks like we got him. Welcome.
I am here. How's it going?
Good, good. So, these are very interesting times, Daniel. We are in the process of not just learning, but almost metamorphizing at this point with our understanding of how things are working. We were just talking off the air and almost missed the show because we were deep in a conversation. But, you know, I guess I want to start off today by talking about this notion that, well, actually, you know what? First of all, let me ask you a question. I'm in day nine of what is called the Master Cleanse. In other words, I haven't eaten food for 9 days. I've been on the Master Cleanse, which is basically when you get hungry, you have a glass of lemonade, which consists of grade B organic maple syrup, organic lemon juice, which is squeezed right from the lemon, and if you will, if you're tolerable to it, cayenne pepper. And I'm on day nine. I'm going to go through tomorrow, which is the recommended detox period. And so, in other words, folks, I have not eaten for 9 days. And I feel wonderfully, wonderfully energetic. My mind is clear. I have no mucus in my body. I could not get sick if I wanted to because, of course, the flu and the cold and all that needs that mucus. If I had any health issues, they'd probably be residing right now. And what was the other point I wanted to make? Oh, all my cravings are absolutely gone. I still have the urge and the desire to eat, but it's not because I'm hungry. I am, you get strange cravings, like for things you've eaten in the past that are addictive, say Taco Bell or something like that, because there's addictive additives in those foods, but that slowly goes away, including your addictions to coffee and any kind of alcohol, any kind of whatever it is that you're addicted to.
It's gone. It's gone. I've done it. So I know what you're talking about. If anybody's done it, I recommend anybody that hasn't tried it, they should at least do it once to see what it's about, because you're depriving the carnal body what you believe you need to feed it, but the body has the ability to go through that, and all spiritual people have all believed in fasting. So it doesn't matter what, you know, belief system. I'm not going to say I'm part of every belief system out there, but I just know that you generally will find spiritual people doing fasting because it brings you to a clarity of what you're talking about, and it'd be a great thing for people to do. Generally, people who can't do it or don't do it or give up so quickly, they got a problem going on it. It's internal. It is a spiritual blockage that prevents them from wanting to try it or go the distance.
Well, it's truly
give up really quick.
It's truly mind over matter, because the cravings can sometimes be unbearable mentally, but not physically. That's the thing. I mean, it's a total mental thing. And eating is, of course, a very social, interactive thing. Most people, when they eat, they're together. They're doing it with someone else, or they're doing it in secret because they're addicted to some food that they don't want to eat in front of other people, which is kind of funny when you think about it. But the real great thing about it, besides the fact that it gets rid of any addiction, is now that I'm totally, you know, free from all of that stuff, you come off it, you have to come off it kind of slowly, and you come off on either vegetable broth or really, really, you know, good, wholesome vegetable soup. You can't do any meats or anything like that, of course, because your body is just empty. And, but you know, I had Anne Blake Tracy on the show, and she had done it for the maximum amount that the original book recommended, which was 40 days. She went without food for 40 whole days.
And I did it three times.
And you said you did that too, right?
Three times.
Holy crap. 40 days.
Three times. So I know. And I'm saying it's a great experience. I did it mainly because of the fact was that I saw it very biblical. Because that 40 shows up all over the Bible.
Well, and the guy that wrote the original Master Cleanse, which was back, I don't know if it was the 30s, 40s, or 50s, was very biblical. I mean, he was very, very, very referential to the Bible and the fasting process and how it cures disease and all this stuff. But the real thing I want people to think about, folks, now, you've got all your survival food and you've got all your survival things, but what if you're out there? I mean, I gotta be honest, if I could take two or three items with me in a survival situation, I think it would be a bunch of lemons and some grade B organic maple syrup, because then I could go, I'd have a little, you know, the energy that my body provides wouldn't be much, you know, you can't go for too long without food on the energy crisis, you know, but you do have energy. It's internal energy. You're consuming yourself. I've lost, by the way, about 20 pounds in 9
That's the normal. That's right. About 20 pounds will drop off in that 10 days.
Yep. And it's...
I lost about 47 pounds by the time I was done.
Yeah. Oh, it's just amazing, right? I don't know what to say except people, you know, let's say you're out somewhere and let's say you don't have food. This, think about this for a moment. The most important thing you can have are these two ingredients and water, of course. You can't do it without water. But, I mean, think about that as a survival tool, folks. This is very, very, very important, in my opinion. Let's say you can't feed your child. Well, at least you can do is ease the suffering of taking away the hunger pangs. Because you're not hungry at all. You want to eat, but you're not hungry.
That's right. I remember under a faith arrest that happened on me. I was arrested for failing to identify. Okay, a failing to give a legal description. And legal is opposite to spiritual. So remember, it's the undoing of God's law according to 1893 Encyclopedia Britannica. Okay, so the undoing of God's law. So I failed to identify, but during that, the first thing that came to my mind was, how did those that were in the Bible, because a lot of Christians don't realize that a lot of the people in the Bible seem to be always under a legal or a law enforcement going on with the world that didn't agree with their spiritual faith, and they were being persecuted or arrested because they didn't want to recognize the sovereignty of where they were identifying themselves, or at least putting themselves under. And so I said, boy, the apostles must have been real lawbreakers, because they kept on getting arrested. But the church goes, oh yeah, we got to be subject to the higher powers, but they don't realize that the ones who actually were showing the way were being arrested by the Roman powers, which are no different than the civil powers today that are running everything. And so they knew how to fast, because they'd already known that, because people that were of Israelite background knew how to fast.
Well, this sort of goes back to the notion of the meek shall inherit the earth, which again means the prepared, generally speaking, shall inherit the earth. If you're prepared, if you understand the notion of fasting, you know, you're going to panic. If you're dependent on the food supply, the food chain of the corporation, this is one way that you can truly spiritually and physically be prepared, right?
Well, corporate means body, so you understand it's the carnal body lust that they're running the population on. Why don't we give you all the lust and all the things you could possibly ever want or have, and we'll give you the opportunity to get there on it. We'll sell you this success. You, too, can have all that success. And you just have to follow these courses to do that. And so they sent out these little, people that look like stars of success in it. And they put them up in the limelight and they say, follow them and you too can have that. But you know that the odds are, as it would be, whether it's a hockey player, most children who play hockey will never be an NHL star.
Sure, you have to read the
fine print. But their parents will spend a lot of money trying to get them there, even though the odds are not in their favor. It's better to have bought a lottery ticket.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to read the fine print, right? These are paid actors. Yeah. Same thing with Hollywood. You know, that was one of the first things I learned once I became a professional in Hollywood, is that everybody coming there is thinking that they're going to make it big in the acting realm. Better get used to being a waiter or a bartender, because yep. You don't just go to Hollywood. You're invited because you are blood. Period. End of story. You're not an actor because you have talent. That's why there's so many untalented actors. It's not beauty. Although beauty can get you a long way if you're willing to give that beauty away. In the carnal lust sort of way, but yeah, these notions of being somebody other than you are all around us.
That's why the Little Rascals, their series, which was all about that, those are the early child talents that were used by the guys who run the whole schematic. King World Production. Okay. And what did they have? They had those kids pulling a cart with a carrot in front of the donkey, in front of the ass. And that was one of the things that was in it. They knew what they were doing. Of course, those actors all died penniless, most of them, and end up with terrible, terrible, disastrous lives from what that industry did to them anyway. Because it was there to attract them for lust. And when they lost the lust and they didn't have the things to supply it anymore, pull the plug on it, give someone the drug of the attention, the fame, the money, and then pull the plug on it in 10 seconds, it comes to an end really quick. And
yeah,
that was usually the demise of most people in those early days of the film industry. Though later, I mean, we know that they managed to, you know, make it look like they could control the royalties later, and better contracts were made with these stars. Okay,
well,
but
I've noticed that about certain radio hosts that I will not mention because they are litigious. They want to sue you if you mention their names. But a lot of these guys that are no better or worse than myself are doing it because they actually want the fame of this. Now, in my case, I could quit this tomorrow and never look back. I mean, I'm doing this purely out of a duty to my fellow man. I'm doing this because I have the capacity to do it. Perhaps I was born to do it. Perhaps God is guiding my hand, whatever you want to call it. But it's in no way because I want to be famous. I got to see fame firsthand. I got to see what it does to people. There's nothing about the fame that I want. I don't even really want the infamy, which is probably more apropos.
Yeah.
But these people that get into this, they want to make money. They want to do things that they're doing it for the benefit of themselves instead of the benefit of the people they're talking to. And you can really hear that in the tone, in the conversations, and in the format, the content of a lot of these radio shows. It's obvious.
From my understanding of that whole industry, the entertainment industry, it is pre-selected, pre-set up. They select the people that they get there. The guys who are running it, these huge movie companies, I mean, all the stuff to do with the motion picture industry, the whole film industry seems to be all related to those that are controlling the monetary aspect of it. And the fame, and the fortune, and then the demise of these people, and then they can destroy them in seconds. As fast as they reach their fame, they can actually bring them down for more money, destroying them at the same time. And there's people that could explain that they have no reason to believe why their career was taken down to a halting end. It appears that they had been on a pre-programmed, timeline of fame. and it was going to come to an end based on someone else's schedule, not theirs.
And that's exactly what it is. It's predestined. You know, you can, if you can find it, you can still read the story of Whitney Houston. Everybody's, oh, she's so talented. No, she's selling. There's so many talented people out there that can pull a Whitney Houston. It's not funny. But she was predestined, pre-programmed, and all of that to be Whitney Houston. And we know her demise. What's amazing is, when I was in Hollywood, I didn't understand the Jewish equation to Hollywood. I didn't understand that everything was based on that, that it was a pure deception. It was purely to, everything about it is to diminish everything that is God and that is anything good and holy and sacred and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I knew a few of the producers, just because it was a necessity in my job. I mean, I had to wine and dine these people half the time. And, they're a lot of the little guys, the little producers, the ones that actually work, in other words, and we're all familiar with the notion of the little guy does the work and the big guy takes the credit for the little guy. Well, the same thing. You know, you watch these movies and you'll see all kinds of producers on there. You know, and the real producer, the one that's there doing the whole entire thing, funding it, doing all the paperwork and everything, well, that's the one that usually gets last credit. the ones that actually do the work. But on every single movie, and it's ironic because we talk about this all the time, the whole purpose of that is to get your name in the credits, because then you're getting royalties for the movie. It's all about the name, Daniel. If you get your corporate name on there as a producer, then you get producer credits. And so all these basically absolutely worthless, not doing anything whatsoever, Jews get their names in the producing credits, and they're getting royalties for all these movies, and they haven't done a damn thing about it.
Well, they control all the spellings and the billing. We won't go any further than that on that innuendo.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I went as far as I want to go on that one without us getting into trouble in the RBN. But they control the time. Time is a spell. So there's many spellings out there controlling the film industry that cause lots of interesting wordings to go a certain way. And then you got Time Warner Brothers, and they're warning about time. Don't worry that the aristocracy that control the world are called Timocracy, those qualified to rule. Okay, and they've been doing this a long time. So to outwit them is not a good plan. Okay, people have tried to do it, end up dead. It's a matter of your only protection is going to be spirituality. Because they can't touch you when you're going down a spiritual journey. They can touch you certainly if you're going down a secular one. Because that's the journey they control, because that's all the make-believe. That's the whole system that they run in the movie industry, because it's all fictionalization. Everything they do there is based on that whole thing. And they collect royalties on all this. And the royalties control the royal name that they grant the privileges to you, the title. So they're going to collect on it. It's a fee schedule. It's very simple. It's called fee simple. And that's how they hold all the land. It's all held under fee simple. Because you hold it under the permission of a license under your feudal lord that you serve. And that's the master under the secular side, so they can control that. But they cannot control someone who goes down a spiritual journey, and that's the big war that they run against. And they're quite intimidated of. So they're very concerned about people going down a spiritual, not-for-profit, charitable direction. They know that is what would upend them. But when the whole world is lying, you know, down a direction of going toward monetary gain, well, anybody's on the take at that point. And so your fellow man will sell you out for 10 cents. If it's his life over your life for money, he will arrest you. So that's the police force, because they're paid to arrest. They don't care whether or not they're arresting you for something that's moral. They're arresting you for something that's monetary, because their paycheck comes in first. They're only doing their job because they get paid. They're not there because they love fellow man. They love the money. So therefore, they're there every day to go and do that. And you'd have to love the money in order to carry a bat and a gun to do the stuff that they do. So, unfortunately, the direction is, you know, the direction, unfortunately, in the world we live in under democracy is secular. It's money. It has nothing to do with morals or values. Invaluable.
Well, when you become the valuable, when you become the commodity, then it's a lot. Again, if you can accept, like a lot of people would say, well, you just described the feudal system and all that fee stuff, and that only happened long ago. We don't have that system anymore. Well, that's the problem. You see, we do. It's just been clandestined. The words have changed, you see, and that's their prerogative because they own the words, their terms of art. They change their art form in any way they wish to do. They make the terms. So you have to just, you know, you have to study the old and you have to compare it to the new and you have to accept it for what it is. That's the hard part for people because, oh no, I want to believe in the Constitution and all this stuff. You have to just bring yourself down to reality, look at it the way it is, accept it for what it is, and do your best to defeat it is really all you can do. But you have to acknowledge first that you're a slave to it. You're a subject to it. No difference.
Yeah, you can't technically fight evil with evil. In fact, the scripture says return evil for evil to no one. The reason being is because it won't work. It's like two things that repel each other. They don't work. It won't solve it. It'll actually make it worse. It's a situation that that if we don't, the good will actually put out the fires of the bad. So when good is out there, bad runs because it doesn't want it to quench its flame. It's dead. It's hell. So good guys put out the flames of debt that the bad guys are trying to put out there. And they know that they're the dangerous. And that's why, more than not, you've seen such an attack on spirituality. That's why China is so against anything to do with Christianity. Because that would just not go well with a godless society of a bunch of militant nuts who want to destroy the world based on raping and pillaging every resource for the next dollar they gain. So,
well, there's another...
The U.S., you got 350 million in their army. They outnumber your population there right now, and they bought your debt. So don't think about that for the moment. They bought your secular debt there in the United States. They own the Obama debt. And it isn't going to go away, and those guys aren't walking away. Anybody's ever dealt with any interaction with China would know what I'm talking about right now. The average individual has never an experience with anybody from China. These guys that are running that world there are very dangerous.
Well, think about the notion of China having a certain amount of debt as any old bill collector. I mean, the problem with the debt is that it's collateralized as opposed to most debt that we have out here where you have the trickery to make us pay an unsecured debt. They have a secured debt. And that changes things when you think about that. So they can demand, under international law, that's the problem, that debt be collateralized or take the collateral. So we're going to take this much land, we're going to take this much property, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They've already been doing that.
Exactly what you're saying right now. They've already been doing it. You've substantiated what's already going on. Because there's many nations that know there's been many, many what we call commodities or we call resources leaving countries with no data on the books as far as the debt that the people technically are supposed to be paying back. It just goes away, but it's given to that nation for the debt that is owed to them. So they're raping and pillaging everything. Their corporations aren't taxed. While they're sitting in international waters outside the boundaries of where you could open up a fishing vessel outside of waters such as British Columbia, and you could process fish being raped out of that area under a corporation that they can't tax. But if you opened it up and you were a BC resident and you actually opened up that same business, you would be taxed. But they're walking away under international law as untaxable. You
sure.
can't touch them. Because well, they still owe debt and no one wants to talk about it.
Let's face it. Again, it's something you have to accept. It's not something that you can say, that's what the United States does. It puts a lot of its assets
into
things.
And it has nothing to do with prejudice. People think what we're talking about is like racial prejudice. It has nothing to do with it. It's called money reality.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Well,
corporate debt's been sold to these nations.
You sent me actually just the title of a book, but there's a new book, or maybe it's not new, I don't know. It's called The Criminalization of Christianity. You just mentioned that little bit in China and how they're doing that, but that's also going on. And you know, you listen to most people and they say, are you kidding me? Christians are evil, da 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 da. And that is actually true in the instance of corporate Christians who use Christianity to gain over people. But there is a more deeper criminalization of Christianity that is going on that has nothing to do with churches or corporations that are call themselves churches. It is the demonization that is more biblical, more I'll let you explain. This is a book by Janet Folger, The Criminalization of Christianity. You there, Daniel? Oh, are you kidding me? Always happens at least once, huh? He said, when he sent this, he was talking to me about how this is happening in the United States. Now, remember, it's not churches that are being demonized because churches are part of the state. But let's say you're in a bus, and this has actually happened. Let's say you're in a bus, and you're having a conversation with three or four of your friends about the Bible, having a little Bible discussion. Harmless, completely, between you. And suddenly you're asked to get off the bus because you're talking about something that's very offensive to other people. Can you imagine that happening? That talking about the Bible and what it says, like any other book, and what it says, but for the Bible specifically, it's offensive, and so you should get off the bus since you're offending the other patrons in commerce. You see, it's all about commerce. It's all about the lack of spirituality in commerce, because how can spirituality be offensive unless it's in an unspiritual place, you see? So this is the kind of stuff we're talking about. Now, when you hear other people who are trying to use this notion in a political gain or a financial gain to say that Christianity is being attacked, not the same thing. We're talking about a deeper spiritual shift in consciousness of people that they will no longer even tolerate people talking about the goodness, the lessons, the very important things that are anti-commerce in the Bible. We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils is an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
It is like a finger pointing away to the moon.
Concentrate on the finger, or you will miss all that heavenly glory.
Empty your mind. Be formless, shapeless, like water. Water, water, like water.
All right, folks, welcome back.
Water can flow.
We are with Daniel today. Daniel, you mentioned at the beginning, and it sort of shook my roots here. You said that the 1893 Encyclopedia Britannica defined the word legal. Could you repeat that?
It defines legal as the undoing of God's law. Because God's law was to fulfill the law with grace, forgiveness. There's no forgiveness in the legal system. It operates to judge, condemn, and execute. It has nothing to do with forgiveness or grace.
Right.
No,
so
pardon,
to say,
you're done. You pay the penalty. You're the surety for the hit.
Well, to say that there's no grace is to, or say that there's no forgiveness is to really say or identify that we are all permanent debtors, that there is no end to our debt. So we can never be forgiven or in grace within the system, correct?
Right. Okay, so let's take it for a second there. You have a given name, right? That's forgiven, right? It was given to you. It's forgiven. That's a given name. That's a fact. Fiction doesn't work on fact. It works on factitious. A surname on most of the records here, at least in the province of Ontario, say legal surname. They don't say legal given name because the given name is not legal because it was granted you under grace. The calendar you live in is the AD calendar, which is in the year of our Lord and Savior, which means you're under the grace of Christ. But none of the legal documents that occur in the court will use the term AD. The reason being is because they can't, because they're judging in that court. And the judgment will not see grace. So they can't have the AD in there. So what is they need is your voluntary entry into judgment versus grace.
Interesting, because so I remember
is legal,
right? Well, that makes perfect sense.
It's really hard for a lot of the Christians on the network here, but your grace is illegal. Christianity was illegal at the time of the Romans because they refused to incorporate their belief into the Roman corporate system of incorporation. So they would not incorporate their Christian belief into it. So their natural name became Christian. And therefore they would not incorporate it or join it in with unbelievers. And therefore the state names, which were the surnames where the surname comes from, meant you were an unbeliever. You were carrying a title of another. It had nothing to do with spirituality. It had to do with money, value, debt. And that's why it meant a debt or a debtor. So there's no possible way anybody's walking around out there right now. I don't care whether they believe they've got an absolute out right now. If they've got a surname, they are a debtor. Period. End of story. However they're carrying it, it means debtor. You can't walk into the court with a surname that means debtor and say you're not the debtor. The burden of proof is over. That's what their birth name is about on the birth record. It was the event of a judgment debt. And we ended up colliding with it based on ignorance. And our parents put us on the record not knowing that they were not obligated to put your given name on the state birth record. Therefore, separation of church and state, Clint, right?
Yeah. Well, and it's
a
important to know.
Separation of church and state, but though church is not a good word, I'll use the word congregation or ecclesia.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so more importantly, that surname towers above the given name, the Christian name. It literally erases the Christ from the name. It literally erases the grace. Oh, I think we're having connection problems again. So, I mean, if you consider it that way, then the addition of the name, an addition is a legal term, you know, opprobrious appellation, again, appellation meaning naming, opprobrious meaning bad. You know, if you consider that, you're adding something to your God-given name to show that you are no longer under God's law. That's powerful stuff, man. That's you're erasing the Christ from the corporation is the erasure of grace. Now, folks, this is the law. I really want to get that clear. And what I've also come to understand, and it's a very difficult notion, is that the law, because the law is based on all of this, because it is based on the Bible, because it is a code that must be adhered to for all of it to exist, the truth of the matter is that the whole system stands in honor. The problem is that you can't make it stand in honor if you are participating in the fiction. If you are in the fiction of law, then the honor, the grace, the beauty of equality, or excuse me, equity, which is in harmony with the natural God's law, It doesn't exist anymore. It's not that it doesn't exist. It's that it is like the surname attached to the name, the given name. It erases it. It's no longer a consideration. Consideration is a very important word. Now, if you go look up in the 1889 dictionary, which is William C. Anderson's 1889 dictionary, you're going to find the word love. You will not find it in any other dictionary because there is no legal description for love. Legal is opposite and destructive of love. It cannot exist in the same plane. When you look at love, you see the word consideration. It says see consideration because there's no such thing as love. The closest thing to love in the legal language, according to that particular dictionary, and it is a very true statement, is the word consideration. What is consideration? Nothing more, because it can't be anything more, because we're talking about contract law. It can be nothing more than inducement to a contract. Consideration, i.e. love, is nothing more than an excuse to get into a contract according to law, according to the legal law. You understand? This is why you cannot claim to be of God while you're in the legal fiction. There is no love. God is love. You get it? It's not that hard. Consideration is a horrible word in because it replaces everything that is good, everything that is holy and sacred is gone. You no longer have the capacity to claim it if your name is attached to the surname. You no longer have the surname overpowers the Christian name. Daniel, do we have you back?
100%. And that word, what happens is your surname is legal consideration. Now, if you can go to the Dictionary of Word Origins, I've spoken about it, but I've never actually referred the author on the air, but it's called the Dictionary of Word Origins. Illuminates our reading of literature by removing some misunderstandings. Great fun, Sunday Telegraph. It's written by Linda and Roger Flavell. That's F-L-A-V-E-L-L.
Say that again.
Okay, it's Dictionary of Word Origins by Linda and Roger Flavell. That's F-L-A-V-E-L-L. And it is, I can give you the ISBN number, which is 1-85-62-6371-1. Now, what's interesting is the word consideration. This is an amazing book that will tell you about many things you would never have understood if you had not seen it in here. Because it really went in there to actually go to the origin of the word. The word consider leads to the word disaster and influence. So let's put valuable consideration in there. Wow. Valuable disaster, valuable influence. To influence someone is to take them down a trail that is in your direction, on your will, not possibly the will that they should be directed on. So it could be misleading them. Consideration also leads to the word zodiac. And they're using the zodiac calendar on your birth because they're watching the stars. Let's think about what everybody does in North America. The stars are so important. We even have all these events that are based on awarding those in the entertainment field that are stars. And they're based on their birth names. Their birth is their surname. That's the birth name, not their given name. Your given name is your born again or from the beginning name, which was taken from the Arabic. Born again is more of a English transliteration of from the beginning, bringing us back to Adam before the original sin occurred. The legal system works on sin, charge, and penalty. So all the stars lead you down the penalty journey to think that you can have all the lust, all the license to do whatever you want, the liberty to do whatever you think at your own discretion. But that's not from the natural law. Because if I did things that were against the law of gravity, I'm going to find out the hard way. Jump off a cliff, find out. It may not work out very well. So I may believe I'm Superman, but if I jump off the building, I may find out I'm not a Superman. So the whole wordings that we're using will not, they're not guidelines, they're 100% solid directives. And words are spellings, and they could be a very bad spell if used in the wrong manner. So the ones that are running the world on the legal are casting spells on the population of the Pope, who runs the tithing on the, and the collection plate on the use of royalties from an imagination to control a population on an unnatural concept, which is money.
Wow.
Now, if we can replay that backwards, maybe I want to even listen to it.
I know, right?
Because I know I couldn't have spilled that out if it hadn't have been for the fact that I'm doing the same thing you talked about earlier. You could be out there trying to generate money. I'm attacked for not even generating money, and so when I'm not generating it, the people with the money are claiming the fact is I'm trying to attach their money. By telling them that they better get out and start doing something with what they've got, because that money is going to run out anyways, and they will be empty shells, having done no purpose with the use of it. And they will have to go back to their maker and explain, why did they have such selfish use of all that money that did nothing for their fellow man? I'm not going to be the one answering back on that. They will be the one answering back on that.
You know, the thought of that, the thought of men actually using mammon to improve other men's position in life, and to turn mammon into something good, is very much at the forefront of my thought nowadays. And it is possible to have that happen to the point where mammon is not even anymore a necessity, because everybody actually is acting in the best interest of everybody else. That would be an amazing feat if it could be pulled off. But of course, mammon and greed go hand in hand, so convincing those who do have the wealth to do just that would be very difficult, and it probably shouldn't be counted on. But there are those of us out here who perhaps do have that opportunity. And, you know, this brings up one of the subjects I want to talk to you about tonight, which is the notion of, well, there's all kinds of words that have been demonized through all these different systems of socialism and communitarianism and anything, but the word community comes to mind. I don't think that the word itself is an evil term, but it has certainly has been altered and twisted into what we see today with Agenda 21 and everything else. But the notion that of trying to fight this battle alone without a community of some sort of like-minded people that can support each other, help each other, and build together and possibly build your own vision of utopia, which of course utopia is in its finest definition, unfortunately, utopia is what is away from man's creation. It's God's creation. The only kind of society you can build that is a utopia is one that is as close as possible to the simulation, to the instruction manual that is the Bible. It's because it's just like we're operating we're operating as robots or toys without an instruction manual at this point, because it's been hidden from us. But if you create a society that is utopian in the fact that it is basically so adherent to the laws of nature and to the realm of nature, that would be the closest to utopia man can get, because utopia can only be seen at a distance. Man is necessarily a consumer of nature and doesn't have anything to offer nature. So we have to, again, realize that and form some kind of system that will allow man to be in nature. And of course, that's what the Bible is when you break it down to its fullest potential. So the question comes, you know, we can't do this alone. We cannot expect to, like when we talk about breaking free of the system and becoming true men of God, Christian in the true sense of the word, not the corporate sense, doing that alone is actually quite a dangerous feat. For one, you become stateless, which is not a bad thing, but in the perspective of the state, you become an animal, essentially. You become something that is easily a prisoner of war, something that can be tossed into the lions, etc. So there has to be, as far as the right of self-determination, I don't think it's possible to exist in a lone state. You have to form some sort of community. Now, Daniel, I'm stalling because we're going to go to a break right now, but I really, next hour, we'll certainly get into this more, and we've got a little section here before the next break, just about 2 or 3 minutes. Stay tuned, folks. We will be back. More with Daniel.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. escapeharassment.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendovite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from takefromcaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at takefromcaesar.us.
derivatives, quantitative easing, trade imbalances, recession, low GDP, nations close to collapsing, and subprime loans, foreclosed homes, and people's taxes spent to bail out too big to fail, AAA banks again. Fear levels rising as a US crash seems imminent, having smashed the debt ceiling of $14 trillion. Despite protests and clashes in Athens streets, the IMF imposed structurally unjust programs in Greece.
All right, folks, welcome back. The term economy entered our... Here in the corporation nation. Just a quick little segment here, Daniel, but... you know, I guess I'm picturing many people at the same time rendering back to Caesar what is Caesar's and forming a community, building one, building monastery, etc., 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 claiming land together in different parcels but connected, whatever it is, trading in all your mammon for land or for property, etc., etc., etc. It seems like it's a necessary protective element because, you know, if you don't have the protection of the state, then... what is going to protect you but yourself? Daniel. Did you hear any of that?
No, I didn't. I just came on right now.
Okay. Basically, you know, just the thought of being able to protect yourself and rely on others seems like there has to be some form of community.
Yeah, I mean, certainly being alone was not the message of the scripture. It says, do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together. So certainly those of like faith were to come together. Certainly organized religion has put it into a church format, but... church is not a good word because it was a mistransliterated usage of the word ecclesia, which meant congregation, not what we use as the word church. Church came from a pagan idea of a bad thing, but gathering together is a good thing, and certainly, you know, there's more strength in numbers, so I'm not going to say that being isolated is the way to go, so you and I will just go in the middle of nowhere and isolate ourselves from the community of people. You're not going to get that because your lifeblood is of strength is certainly within the people. And those that actually have morals and strength are going to be there. And I believe there is good out there, and we're predestined to do good. I think that we're not predestined to do evil. And I think that it's just that people have been callous to do evil because they've been trained to do evil from a very evil system run by some very evil people that are going to have a short-lived existence, and they know it, so they're going to try to take everybody down with them. And unfortunately, these are the popes and the monarchies that are out there right now. They are the democracy that makes a royal living off of all the dead souls who do not understand how to be spiritual. So there is a problem going on right now, and it is run on an artificial system that you cannot run morals on money because money doesn't have any morals. It's based on lust, carnal, and how much you can achieve. And it was very hard for a rich man, of course, to enter into the kingdom of God based on the amount of possessions they had, which was spoken about by Jesus when he was talking to the rich man about his level of how he would attain a spirituality to enter the kingdom as a member of that. And he told him he had to sell his possessions, get rid of them all, and give to the poor.
That's sort of a... allusion, if you will, to, you know, when you're about to die, and I certainly can't empathize with that. I know I will in the future, unless the marvels of technology force me to live forever in this hell. But it's a notion of when you die, you are either you're either in spiritual harmony and you're welcoming the death, or you're feeling like you're having a sense of loss because you're losing all your possessions and you want to cling on as long as possible because they're yours. Darn it, they're yours. No one else can have them. No, my children can't have them. I will them to them, but it's everything's mine. And if you don't have that, then you might be actually a little more accepting of the notion of death. We'll be back, folks.
With financial uncertainty,